But our guest is from a group called, actually it's now a defunct group called Investigate Sweden. And his name is Fabian Fjärling. And I'm not sure I said that perfectly, but he was last here about a month ago, January the 19th on a, I believe that was a Saturday. So we thought we'd introduce you and him to the audience here on Thursday night, the primetime show. So without further ado, Fabian, hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hello, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
How is my Zulu time?
Your Zulu time, yeah, well, I can. It's a bit confusing when you are broadcasting from one part of the earth to the other. I understand that.
Especially when you change a lot. You know, like I was in Abu Dhabi earlier this week, and then you come back, and Abu Dhabi, it's not far away, but it's an hour difference, and then you come back, and then the clocks, you got to make sure everything's on the right time zone again. So you got to be careful. Otherwise, you're like really off kilter, man.
Yeah, and then you have the summer, winter time problem when that comes to it. It is confusing when you travel back and forth.
It really is. You know, they usually send me emails. Listeners send me those. Hey, Dennis, it's going to be daylight savings time in America this week. Don't forget to change. Because sometimes I'm like, I just show up an hour late. It's like, hell, I didn't know, man. Come on, man. Yeah. Everybody, if you don't know Fabian, he's with a group out of Sweden. Again, it's now defunct, called Investigate Sweden. They used to do like a lot of cool stuff, like kind of bait the political class over there and reporters and government officials, and basically kind of to show the hypocrisy of what this leftist, liberal, loon environment and Marxist environment and feminist environment was all about. And he did such a good job. I think the government finally shut down his website. And how accurate is that? Did the government actually shut down your website, or did somebody cause it to get shut down?
Yeah, I mean, the establishment shut it down. They play a charade of separating government, media, and the justice system, but it's all the same. So they whipped up a media storm around our website, and eventually they took us down on, well, they took our YouTube channel down on a copyright claim. Because when we were quoting newspapers, we would take a screenshot of what a journalist had written, and then I would call we would call the journalist and ask them specifically.
Purely fair use. I mean, if you're commenting on news, that's purely fair use. To claim copyright's absurd, quite frankly.
But it doesn't apply to extremists. Extremists get shut down for nothing, you know. they make you an extremist, and then you do not have any rights.
Yeah, that's true. Once they label you, they just believe they can do whatever you want. And really, it's a bad precedent, because as they like to say, oh, now we can do this. Well, okay, so can we. You know what I mean? If that's the way you guys need to play the game. And I'm all for it, quite frankly, if you ever get the instruments of state back. I'm actually for, you know, sorry. But you can't make money anymore. You can't have a voice. And here's your gulag you can go to, because you did the same to everybody else. So don't complain. All right, you got a new story coming out there. You got a great actor by the name of, I think, Sauk, S-A-U-K or something like that. He just visited Africa, and he's kind of outspoken, and he came back to Sweden, and he's caused quite a media storm, because he's now saying that Sweden doesn't look like Sweden anymore. What's going on over there?
Yeah, it's a really brilliant video that he put on Facebook. I really don't know how awake he have been. He has always been a brilliant comedian. He has a very intelligent way of putting his points across. And it's a 5-minute clip where he talks about how African leaders are using the power for their own benefit, and then he comes and that happens in Sweden too, and he takes some examples, and he, in the end, he kind of realized that Sweden is pretty much like Africa these days, and he's not really, Sweden is even looking like Africa if you go into Gothenburg or other big cities during the day when all the Swedes are working. There's a lot of African people in so, but it's not, that's not what he's getting at. He's getting at how the ruling class grabs on to power and then just keeps it for whatever, however they can. They don't respect the election. And we have, I mean, we've had an election and there was a clear vote for change of government. But now we have the same government as before the election. So democracy is really put out of play in Sweden.
And relative to Sweden, this actor, comedian, he's kind of like a senior A-lister, isn't he?
He's one of the top actors in Sweden, I would say. But he's moving in a direction where he will not get any jobs anymore. I mean, but he feels that he's in the end of his career, so he can speak his mind maybe. But very few actors, if any, speaks our side of political issues, so to say. But he seems to start to do it.
Now, of course, Europeans are dealing with the demographic issue in different ways. Part of the problem we have, of course, is the rampant, really, over the last 40 years, the abortion world. Yeah. A lot of these world wars have cut into our numbers equally, you know, from generation to generation. These are all issues that have affected us. Sweden's never been a large country, demographically speaking, as has Hungary. It's never been a large country. But Hungary is saying no more migrants, and they are paying by way of no taxes families for raising four kids or more.
Yeah.
They're saying that you don't need any, you know, we will cut your taxes, raise the families. We support the families. That's Hungary's. And now your ambassador or one of your politicians jumped in and said, this is Nazi era type of behavior. This can't be done. So now there's kind of a spat now between Hungary and Sweden.
Yeah, it's brilliant. They are really, the Swedish politicians are really exposing themselves. I mean, they did it last summer also, when the Poles were celebrating their national day. Some idiot Swedish politician said that this is close to Nazism, celebrating your own nation. And he did. They have such. They don't have a clue about history. They don't realize the absurdity of accusing Poland of being Nazi. But in Sweden, you can pretty much, if you're politically correct, you can call any who has an opposing opinion a Nazi, and that up till now it's pretty much worked. But now they are so used to using this Nazi card, so they start to use it on Hungary. And that kind of blew up in their face. They look like the idiots they are in international politics now.
Well, how'd the Swedes take it?
Well, I mean, awake people, we've been, you know, we are ashamed of our politicians anyway. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that they do that. The Nazi card, they're crazy about playing that.
You know what, in America, the second you use the Nazi card, you're immediately branded as a frickin' Jew because nobody else uses it. So it's like, okay, why don't you put your yarmulke on backwards? Maybe it'll look different. Okay, because it's funny this way, put it on backwards, it's a rally cap.
The thing is that judging from the tendency of playing the Nazi card, then we have only Jews in Swedish politics because everybody uses the Nazi
there
card.
You go. That's probably the truth of what's happening.
Yeah, it could be. I'm not sure. But it's also funny that Swedish politicians, they realize that we have a demographic problem. So they say we have to have immigration. It doesn't help. Well, the demographic problem. If you realize that Swedes are also a people, you don't help your demographic problem by importing other people.
Well, I just can't imagine something as pristine as Sweden and the politicians being so callous to the people there that it's, they would bring in so many Africans and Northern Africans equally. I know a lot of Northern Africans, Algeria, places like that, transiting from France probably. I just can't imagine the callousness of that culture, you know, as far as the political class, when they could just as easily have created exactly what the Hungarians are doing and say, yeah. No, the best thing for us is to encourage families and just let's grow our population again.
Yeah,
natural thing to do.
I'll tell you some figures there. Last year, we took in 138,000 immigrants in Sweden, and that for the states to have approximately the same, they would have to take in 4.5 million immigrants 1 year.
And which sometimes we do
in 1 year.
Yeah, okay, 1.2, well, 1.3 million. Yeah.
Okay, well,
it's 4 million, though. 4 million is huge.
Yeah. Anyway, we now in Sweden we have 8 million people who are Swedes and 2 million who are not Swedes. And the state is paying for childcare about $1,000 to $1,500 a month. So the parents are not paying for themselves, are not paying the full fee themselves. So there is money going from the state for childcare. If we would give that money to mothers, a mother with four children would be highly paid. She would get like $6,000 a month for taking care of her own kids. I assure you, we would not have a demographic problem if we would pay mothers $6,000 a month.
Well, moms will tell you, man, it's a full-time job. So, hey,
yeah.
If the state's willing to pay for it, that's okay. If that's if it really is a social need and there is a demographic issue, paying that mother is okay.
It's the most important job there is to take care of kids. So it should be well paid.
Of course, no one will argue that point. But they're really reducing. I don't know if you saw the absurdity out of France. Maybe you guys will catch up to this one. There are no longer parents, mothers and fathers in France. Did you hear that story?
Yeah, I hear.
Parent one and parent two?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's an attack on the traditional family, as always. This is a constant attack on traditional family. In Sweden, we have had that for a long time. Even we don't call it parent one and parent two. We call them caretakers. So you are a caretaker. You're not the mother or father in administrative issues. When you fill out forms and so on, you are a caretaker of the.
So you beat the French to this.
Yeah, we did. We want to be inclusive.
So basically, there's no more moms and dads in Sweden, as far as the state is concerned.
Well, not when it comes to signing papers from authorities about children. Then you are the caretaker.
Now, you heard German police, they're hiding facts about migrant crime statistics. And then they say to preserve civil peace. But what they're really saying is we're hiding the crime the crime statistics so we can allow one side to continue to attack without any repercussions.
Yeah.
Same thing going on in Sweden?
Absolutely the same. We have the Institute for Crime Research, and there is a Jew on top of that organization, making sure that we don't look into the ethnic component of crimes. So rapes and violent crime is skyrocketing. And they haven't done any studies on which are the perpetrators, who are the perpetrators. They've done some study like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, but they're not doing it again.
So essentially, the people are blind.
Yeah, but our organization, we have one researcher who was really good, and he dug up all the lower cases, court cases, and analyzed the names, and he defined people as Swedish or non-Swedish based on their names, and it's absolutely staggering. We would have, my guess is that we'd have maybe 20% of the crime rate we have today, maybe even 10% of the crime rate, at least when it comes to rapes and violent crime and shootings. We have shootings every day now. Some nights in Malmö a week ago, there were two bombs going off in one night. And there's almost not a day passing by without a shooting or somebody, yeah, severely injured, but often killed in shootings in Sweden now. And then we have mainstream politicians now waking up and saying, oh, this is unacceptable that we have so many shootings. And if I would still be active, I would call them and ask, what do you think have happened? Why has it started now? But that's a question that they will not get from the mainstream media, because they just want to hide away the reason for why the crimes are skyrocketing. So they're going to get more surveillance and they ask for more police, but they don't look into why we suddenly need more police and more surveillance.
And then they can insist on more people coming in through your borders.
Yeah.
Have they started to slow that down, or is it still a rampant problem with bringing in migrants?
Well, when we took 2015, we took the most. I think it was 160,000. And then they say, we need to stop this. And this year we took 138. So it's pretty much the same.
Basically the same.
Yeah. The thing is that they say we're not taking in any more refugees. But then they also make laws and suggestions that we have to make it easier for family reunions. And I'm all for family reunions. When they find their family, they can leave our country and go to their family. But in our politicians' mind, family reunion has to be in Sweden. So when we have one who gets they come here as a they call it lonely comer. I don't know how to translate that into English, but they portray themselves as a child with no parents and lonely child. They come here and they get permanent residency, and suddenly they find their family. And then, of course, the rest of the family has to come, because we can't be against family reunions.
Which is the same trick they do in America.
Yeah.
You know, bring in one, and then once that one there, we call it chain migration. Next thing you know, the mother's here, the cousin's here, the aunt's here, the uncle's here, and pretty soon you've brought in 20, 30 people.
Yeah.
And, of course, no jobs for them, and so everybody has to start supporting themselves through the governments.
Yeah.
And you know that story all too well, quite frankly.
Yeah. And they bring in human rights issue about this, that it should be some kind of human right to immigrate to Sweden or to the West. I mean, it's not a human right to go into a country. And then they come in and they live on the Swedish people's tax money. I mean, it would be one thing.
And that's such an embarrassment, quite frankly, because I don't know about you. You travel, dude. You know, you're in the airline business. You travel. Can you imagine us traveling to all the countries we go to and then telling the governments to pay us to stay for 6 months?
It's absolutely ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
It's nowhere in the world except where we have these Jews running our countries.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah. But you could. I think that there's an argument you can make there that, okay, if you say it's a human right to get into the country, when does it become a human right issue that I have to pay for it? How much of my salary has to go to the state that throws the money after non-Swedes before it becomes a human right violation? Can they take half my salary? Can they take 80%? Or can they take all?
And it's not just taking the salary and taxes. It's the added cost for medical that you may have to pay out of your pocket. The added cost for rent, because you got to, of course, increase the rent cost because the housing is less scarce.
Yeah, yeah. It was a news piece today about the lack of housing in Sweden. And the dumb politicians stand there and say, yeah, we have not built as many homes as needed, and it's going to take a long time for us to catch up. And they don't touch the issue. Why is it that way?
You've brought in 100, 200, quarter million people, 2 million total. Why don't they build their housing? Let's see them. Okay, show us. You can live up here. Build your houses now, guys.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's see you survive.
Yeah.
You know, this is not your land. Did you see that thing where they say the first Swede was some African guy? This constant insane attack on our cultures.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that. I actually don't watch television at all anymore. It's just annoying. So,
yeah, there was something that came out, the documentary about how the first Swede was actually some, I don't know, Rwandan African guy looking guy. It's just an insult, you know.
Yeah,
continuous insult against our civilizations.
Absolutely.
Let's see, Malmo. You guys had a soccer game. That was supposed to be big news, man, with Chelsea. I mean, like, wow, that was big news. You guys kept talking about that for like a day and a half.
Yeah, I'm not a football fan. That's actually past me. I don't watch television. I don't follow sports anymore. It's so much propaganda in everything that has to do with media that I can't be bothered, really.
Yeah, I've actually stopped for the same reasons. I just got tired of them pushing their diversity and multiculturalism in sports. It's like it was just nonstop brainwashing. It's like, dudes, you know, you're getting out of hand here. Yeah. We're going into a break probably in about 1 minute or so. Did you hear about America this week? We would have loved it, dude. 1,118 was the peak yesterday. Flight delays.
Ah, okay.
1,118 flight delays and like 147 cancellations. I would assume you would like cancellations over flight delays.
Yeah, of course. That's
you can
better.
Hop out of your plane and get to the hotel. All right, everybody, it's Fabian Fajaling coming from Investigate Sweden. We'll be back with more right after this Inside the Eye Live prime time for Thursday, February the 21st. Back with more after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It is indeed the Fetch. Inside the Eye Live prime time for Thursday, February the 21st, 2019. A good Thursday afternoon, everybody, to all of you listening really on the West Coast now of the United States. Good evening, early evening, really past dinner time almost, all of you listening in your eastern part of the United States and Canada. So hope you're doing well today. As always, our guest, Fabian Fajaling, he is again from a group called, and actually it's a former group called Investigate Sweden. It was really a small group of citizen reporters who were quite effective at exposing the hypocrisy of Sweden's entire political class, really, the elite class over there, and eventually got shut down by somebody who knows directly where, quite frankly. Maybe Fabian knows. But Fabian, welcome back.
Thank you.
So how's the weather up in Sweden? Are you in Sweden right now?
Yeah, it's actually quite warm. It's almost like spring is coming a bit early. So 16, no snow 15? Still.
10 degrees, 12 degrees, what's it like?
I think it was like 10, yeah, something 10, 12, 15, maybe even when it was as warm as.
That's 52, 55 in the Fahrenheit scale. That's doable.
Yeah, it was a nice day previously. So all snow is gone and it seems like, winter is over.
There you go. Telephone lines, guys, are open. They should ring through. I just saw that the calls came in. I missed them. If you want to go ahead and call in, it's, again, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Again, chat room is open inside the iLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door there. All right. Getting to something a little bit more serious. Money, Fabian. Money is what makes the world go round. What is going on with this big financial scandal regarding Swedbank and the money laundering come out of Russia? Is this politically driven or is this something that you're aware of?
I have only read about it just recently, so I'm not really read up on it. But I saw this what's this called? This Jewish guy who previously was doing business in Russia, who was Browder,
yeah.
Browder, yeah, yes. I remember I checked him up before, and he has some very colorful
background. This is the one under arrest right now, isn't he? And that's the same guy that the Russians arrested recently, correct?
Yeah, yeah. They've been trying to arrest him. I don't know if he's eventually come to be arrested. But as far as I understood, he was one of the Jews that robbed Russia Bear before. Putin and the Russian administration is rightfully looking for them for whatever financial scam they've done. But of course, in Western media, it's labeled as a political arrest.
So I heard something like €200 billion was actually funneled through Swedbank, coming out of basically Russia. That's a huge amount of money.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not read up on the Swedbank thing, but that's kind of what they do, isn't it? The banks.
Okay, then how about the e-currency? Are you guys really contemplating getting rid of your cash and then relying basically on electrons to support your economy?
Yeah, it's going that direction. It's a bit scary, I would say. Yeah.
No, it's very scary because once the electrical grid goes down, you're completely penniless.
Yeah, it's true. And also it puts the control even more in the hands of the establishment. I mean, already now, people who has dissenting views are being shut down economically. I mean, the Nordic resistance movement, they can't have any bank. They can't have bank accounts. They are not serviced by Visa or MasterCard. And that's going to be even more once cash is gone. Then you have to comply or you can't take part in the economy.
It sounds criminal, quite frankly.
Yeah. I can tell you a story there about the Nordic resistant movement. There was one of the guys there who was going down to France to report on the Yellow Vests. And he wanted to change cash from Swedish money to euro. And the changing office who deals with changing cash says they want his ID. And when they realize who he is, they don't want to change the money because they say they don't have his background. They don't know his background.
You mean they're blocking changing money at a simple store?
Yes. He is a known Nordic resistance person, so he's not allowed to change money.
See, this sounds so inhumane, and talk about violating civil rights and human rights. That's his money. Why don't you change it?
Yeah.
That's a violation of human rights right there.
Definitely. And they're not allowed to have a bank account either.
Yes. Basically, they're saying you have to use our banks to operate, but we're not going to allow you a bank. Again, this is this is a war, by the banking class and the establishment against the people, really.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe it. This is a declaration of war because we are going to destroy you.
Yeah.
Are people looking at it like this yet?
Sorry?
Are people looking at this like, hey, this is literally the moneyed class declaring war on us? It's not theoretically, hey, we earn this money, it's ours, and now they're saying you can't have it. You can't use it. You can't earn money in our country. This is a declaration of war against the people.
Yeah. I mean, people are waking up, but still the sleep has been very deep. So there's a long way to go for a lot of people in Sweden to realize how bad it is. Because if you are, what's it called, compliant, and you think everything is okay, you might not notice the level of oppression. It's not until you start sticking up your head that you realize how oppressive the Swedish government, the Swedish establishment is. But the more you stick your head up, the more repressive it gets, and it becomes like in the Nordic resistance movement's case, they get attacked by police if they walk on the sidewalk in straight lines with their banners.
And yet it's their country.
Yeah,
And they're walking, and I know these people. They're very professional, courteous, law-abiding, quite frankly. They are law-abiding. They're not doing mayhem. They're very organized.
Yeah.
So basically just walking on a sidewalk is a crime by the police.
Yeah.
Worthy of beating people up.
Yeah, they get a beating if they show up with not always, absolutely not always, but there has been cases where they have done an unannounced demonstration, which is also something that you have the right to do. And then the police comes and I don't know if they beat them up, but at least they physically, they prevent them from doing their demonstration.
Do you have the same problem we're having elsewhere where on one hand you say, well, you can't blame us and, you know, we're blameless. Oh, woe is us. We're the eternal victim. And then on the other hand, they have so much power, they actually tell the government who can come in and out of the country. Do you have this in Sweden where the government is telling people you cannot come to our country based on your political views? And usually it's because something they're mentioning about Jewish people.
I don't know if that has happened. I know there was one person, Richard Spencer, who was, but he was going to come to Sweden, but he was held prevented from entering. I don't know if it was the European Union or what it was, but that's the only case that comes to my mind of someone who has been prevented to entering the country. But there is definitely Jewish lobbying, Jewish pressure to suppress what they call hate speech and hate crimes. I mean, the Swedish police is and Swedish justice system is spending a lot of time finding people who post hateful comments on the internet. In the same time, there's cars being torched, there's shootings and there's rapes, and they spend time on finding offensive comments on the internet. It's ridiculous. Another thing that the police, Swedish police, is doing right now is educating Serbian police in gender studies. And they are spending like $10 million on it.
And are you paying? You're paying as Swedes to teach the Slovenians, not the other way?
Yeah. It's really, I mean, we have police it's Serbia.
So, that's terrible business. You usually, if you're going to be doing the training, you should be paid. You know, you would think the Serbians would at least pay you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what are you doing? Hey, here, I'm the customer. I'm McDonald's. Please take my money so I can give you some hamburgers.
That is if you live in a sane world, but we're not. We're living in Sweden. Can we talk a little bit about the ISIS returners?
I didn't know if you had any of those issues. Yeah, I just to mention, guys, you had the Begum girl. Who basically was being denied into England. We got another woman from Texas who's being denied. Yeah. So apparently you've got some, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Trump is urging European countries to take back and try the ISIS returners. And we have establishment people. One tweeted, for instance, to revoke a person's citizenship is not good for integration. In relation to this with not letting people return. And another one is writing an editorial in one of the main newspapers that we have to step up the support for ISIS returners so we can integrate them back into become normal citizens. I mean, it's insane.
You know, yeah, you don't have the capacity to do that.
No, and I don't have the will to do it either.
You know, in Saudi Arabia, we have something called the Prince Nayef Counterterrorism Rehabilitation Center, something like that.
Yeah.
And so basically they will take people. It's like a prison, but they do go through a very long process of rehabilitation before they are allowed back into society.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so they do have the facilities here to do that.
Okay. Well,
I don't think you guys have something like that.
No, we don't. But I mean, it's. I think it's if somebody comes from outside Sweden, gets a Swedish citizenship, and then goes out in the world beheading people, I don't want them back. I don't care if if it's possible to rehabilitate them. I have no interest in rehabilitating them.
Yeah, and in America, if you go to serve as a foreign army, you lose your citizenship immediately.
Yeah.
Unless you're Jews, of course, in which case you can go to Israel, serve as long as you want, come back, and you keep your citizenship. But for the rest of us, if I were to go back and serve in the German army back in the day, or the Irish army back in the day, I would have lost my citizenship. But that doesn't happen to Jews. They get a special exemption in America. You know, they're the chosen ones. They're the snowflakes that can do whatever they want. So the rest of us have to follow laws.
Yeah, when it suits them, they are full American or full Swedish or whatever. And when it suits them, they're not Swedish or American or whatever it is.
So how's your new government holding up?
Yeah, it's a bunch of lunatics. I mean, it's
bad, huh?
Yeah, I cannot watch them. It's painful to watch them. I mean, actually, I have stopped listening to them because it is painful to listen to them. They just cut off from reality somehow. I mean, I have the privilege of meeting people from all over the world and sit in the flight deck for hours with intelligent people from all over the world. And when I tell them, I can tell them, you know, 5-hour flight, I can hold a complete monologue for 5 hours about conditions in Sweden, and their jaws drop, and they all of them ask, but why are you doing this to your country? And I don't have an answer. It beats me why we are doing this to our country. But
it's a good question, though. It is still a good question.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know what we get? I used to argue with Jewish people because I'm from L.A. You know, I'd argue with Jewish people. And I would say, you guys are doing this and that to my country, you know. And they say, you know what, Dennis? Yeah, they would actually, because they liked me, they would say, yeah, you're right, but you're letting us do it. So what do you guys want us to do?
Yeah.
You know, they would admit it to me privately. Yeah. But if that were to go public, you know, I would be the anti-Semite and he's this and that. But privately, Jews admitted, yeah, we're doing it. We're screwing you guys. But why do you let us do it?
Yeah, that's exactly my colleague's comment, since I'm pretty read up on the Jewish question. And I said, this is different things that goes on in society. I say it always or very often boils down to the Jewish question. And he said, well, it's our own fault. We are letting them do it to us. And he is right about that.
Yeah, so here's where, of course, now, and they know that. They know that. That's why they're going after your bank account, preventing you from doing this and that. But that should, again, why are you, like, it's like so infuriating to watch this happen, you know, and it's this slow rolling oppression. With one thing in mind, Fabian, and that's the complete destruction of our nation. And it's the hard part is getting people to even understand that. They just can't even grasp that's the game. Why did you bring in 200,000 people from sub-Saharan Africa? What do you need them for? What are they going to do for you?
Yeah, but it's starting to dawn on people in Sweden now because they also see that these people coming from wherever, Sudan or Somalia or whatever, They don't become Swedish when they step on Swedish soil, and they don't become productive citizens. Often, never, but sometimes some of them might become productive within a decade or two. But a lot of them don't ever.
The few success stories you get overshadow the massive carnage to the society.
Yeah, exactly. And the success stories always get covered in the newspapers.
Yes.
But the failures, they are brushed over.
Yes, I can hear it now. Muhammad has fully integrated. He has a bakery shop on the corner of Fajaling and Gothenburg Street. And he sells 422 krona per day.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's how they control the minds. They decide what's newsworthy and what is not. And when there is a racist crime somewhere, it goes all over the news. Like this, you talked in our number one with this guy who made up a
juicy.
Yeah. We had the same in Sweden, a similar thing. A woman who claimed to had her hijab pulled off her. And this resulted in an upstir. It was all over the news, and every politicians were talking about this rising racism.
Islamism, yes.
Yeah, Islamophobia that was on the increase in Sweden, and all the politicians were posing with hijabs on. So they made this hashtag hijab, hijabupproret in Swedish. I can't say what it is in Swedish, but hijab. like hijab. Me too.
Hijab.
Yeah. Hashtag hijab, and they're putting pictures all over social media. And then it turns out that it was actually her angry husband who had beat her up because she wasn't home in time. But that did not make the news. So what stayed in the mind was the rising racism and the hijab call to action or whatever.
That's a main issue people need to be focused on, is the way in which the media is fabricating the stories, using social media to force multiply it.
Yeah.
And then sneaking away like snakes, pretending nothing happened after they've done the damage to everybody. Basically, they are literally slurring, defaming everybody, all of us. They're defaming all of us at the end of the day. This is an attack on all of us, trying to make us guilted. For what? For nothing. Of course, people need to have a tougher skin, Fabian, and just stop, react, and say, screw you guys.
Yeah. But that's also one thing in Sweden where it's gone so far that if you say that there is an ethnic group that are Swedes, then you're labeled a racist. And is it racist to say that Swedes exist? I would say it's more racist to say that Swedes do not exist.
Yeah. Or you could just say, yes, it is racist. Yeah, we agree.
Yeah, okay.
And then just Somalians are a race and Nigerians are a race and nobody's going to argue that. And so are we Swedes. So why would you be so confused over the word?
Yeah, but it has gone very far in Sweden when it comes to this agony over racism. But it's starting to loosen up now. People say, more and more people are answering, okay, I'm racist, so what? Can we discuss the issue instead then? You know.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
How's the anti-Semite slur working over there? Is it still pretty powerful, or people get worried?
I think more and more are realizing that there is a Jewish question. Before, they thought that if you even thought there is a Jewish question, you are a potential mass murderer. But now more and more people, I think partly because of our work, they are realizing that there is a Jewish question. I mean, if there is numerous Jewish lobby groups, there must be Jewish interests. Otherwise, they would have nothing to do.
Yeah, they don't work either. They'd be like Somalians taking money from the government.
Yeah.
You know, instead they get big donors who don't pay your government, and then they work that way.
Yeah,
you know, because exactly. I'm sure your laws are like ours. If there's a big donor that gives to a Jewish group 10 million kroner, whatever the case is it kroner or euro up there? Euro there.
Here is kroner in Swedish.
Yeah, so if you gave 10 million kroner to a group, that they probably don't have to pay your treasury that 10 million. So now the Jews work.
Yeah, exactly. They give it to each other, and then they get the desirable label of being a philanthropist. And they get tax cuts.
But they're not paying taxes. Yeah, so basically you're paying for it by lost treasury.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a key point. It has to be raised because we need to stop that spigot.
Yeah, but one really important issue in Sweden is whether there is Jewish interests. And you can argue, yeah, of course there is. I mean, it's a no-brainer for someone who's not Swedish. But if you are Swedish, it's so tense around this question that if you even maintain the attitude that there is a Jewish question, they look at you and think you're going to start killing Jews. You know.
Tell them not yet. But if it ever gets to that, the society is going to have to snap.
Yeah,
but it will be lost. You know what I mean? No, you can't say that to the average layperson, I know, but you can joke.
I wouldn't even say it. I don't want to kill nobody, or well, I won't say nobody, but at least I do not want to kill any Jews. Just I don't want to kill anyone. But I still say that there is a Jewish question, and they have interests that are in conflict with my interests. Just as there are other interest groups in the world who have interests that are
so
in
how do you propose it. Dropping them off in where Madagascar or Israel? Because that's probably what we're going to have to do again.
Sorry?
I said what we're going to have to do is drop them off in some land again. I mean, at the end of the day, they're incompatible with Western civilization. And they've won the right to basically lord over the West, but they are failing everybody, and so therefore they should be held account. Nobody's talking about being vindictive here. It's like, you guys have failed us. We gave you a chance, and look what you did to us. Now it's time for you to go.
Yeah, it would be the, what is it, 106th time or something in their history? Or
it's,
something?
It's actually, if you really count, it's over 350.
Oh, okay, so that much, okay.
Seriously, it's over 350. The 109 is just the major ones.
Ah, okay, I see.
Yeah, you can easily, you know, this principality, you know, add it all up, it's over 300.
One friend put it funny. I maybe you've heard this before, but if you are in a town and you've been thrown out from every pub in town, maybe you should start thinking if there's something in your behavior that you need to change.
Well, they just want you to say they're eternally victimized.
Yeah.
Fabian, we're actually out of time. That was a fairly quick hour. I know we kind of ran through a lot of subjects. Thanks for sharing some time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, after that surgery, I could use a little laugh or two.
Yeah, I don't envy you. I hope it's going to go well for you.
Me too. But I'll be back Saturday, everybody, inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware. Thanks, Fabian. Good night from Riyadh, everybody. Catch you Saturday. Good night.
Good night.